I did really love that song, Grace Is Not Fair. I'm thankful for grace. Amen. You know, if it wasn't for grace, we wouldn't have heaven as our home. And so thank God for grace. I really appreciate Brother Mark and Sister Mary's 40-something years of faithful ministry, and I don't know how they do it. I sure wouldn't want to travel as much as they travel, but I'm thankful that they do, and I just want to say now, in case I forget later, I have a tendency to forget things pretty easy. But if you wasn't here before the service started, you know, before the service, it was free. I'm just kidding, you know. No, really, I was just going to say that we would like to, if you'd like to give a love offering towards their ministry, just drop it in our offering box tonight and we'll get that to them. And so if you want to be a blessing to help them down the road, they also have CDs and some flash drives with their music, some of the new albums that I think the last two new ones since they were here last. And so get out there and look at those. But I really believe one of their most important ministries or investments is at Silver State Baptist Youth Camp. And the reason for that is I believe with all my heart tonight that if we do not call out and disciple the younger generation, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. They should be the frontline ministry of our church. And with our youth fundraiser coming up this Sunday, I just feel like the Lord wants us to focus on that tonight, to focus on the younger generation. But I'm also going to include all of you here tonight. Everyone's included in this. But did you know tonight that 86% of people who come to Christ, let me say that again, 86% of people that come to Christ, they come to Christ before the age of 14. Before the age of 14. 86%. And this is recent. I mean, this is from Barna Group, and they do a lot of research. And I think used to is probably a lot older than that. But now it's 86%. They come to Christ before the age of 14. 10% come to Christ between the ages of 15 and 30. And 4% after the age of 30. That's interesting to think about. So I'm thankful that my children got saved at a young age, because I'm thinking now, I mean, would they get saved when they're in their 30s? I think about that. I remember years ago, I was in a Labor Day conference in Albuquerque at Bella Vista Baptist Church, and I don't remember what year it was, but Brother Clyde Gilman was the pastor, and he has now gone home to be with the Lord. But he probably was one of my favorite preachers. I could remember his messages. Every message I ever heard him preach, he had one point. But I mean, the message was amazing, but you heard that point and you got the point. But he was a great preacher. But anyhow, he had Labor Day conference every year at his church, and he invited pastors, missionaries, and even church members from all over to come, and they had a huge group every year. And I remember one year we were there, and this auditorium was just packed with missionaries, pastors, youth workers, faithful church members from all across the country. And there was a preacher, I don't remember who it was, all I remember is he asked the congregation, how many of you were saved before the age of 18? Let me take that back. I think it was how many of you surrendered to Christ. I'm thinking he was talking about ministry-wise. I believe that's what it was. But how many before the age of 18? And I'm not kidding. 85% of those there raised their hand. You know, I'm just telling you tonight that our youth ministry is vital. And youth camp is vital. I just cannot say how important it is. And I mean, even if I give you my testimony, and many of you know it and you've heard it, but I was saved at youth camp, that 12-year-old boy. That's where I was saved. And so I really believe that it's a very, very important ministry that we need to invest in. Tonight, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to take a break from 1 Corinthians tonight. We've been going through 1 Corinthians on Wednesday night, but tonight I just feel like tonight we need to focus on our younger generation and how important it is. Matthew chapter 9, it's going to be a topical message. We're going to be looking at several passages, but you know, Brother Mark already mentioned that our world is a mess. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable what's happening. Even in our community, even in our schools. I guess many of you saw recently these teenagers that they're getting on social media and they're going into these stores and just robbing these stores. There's so many of them. The police are outnumbered. Happening in Chicago. I've seen some videos out of California. It's just like we're in this state of lawlessness. I mean, we've got so many things that it's just heartbreaking to think about. And I believe it's definitely shows we're in Romans 1. God has given us up. We're under God's judgment. He's judging our country because we have rejected Him. And I believe the time is near for Christ to come back. I don't think we could be any closer than we've ever been. I mean, it is just around the corner. I believe with all my heart, I believe the Lord's coming back soon. What I'm saying is that the need has never been greater. The need has never been greater. Did you know that we're right now at about 8 billion people in our world today? Do you know how many of those 8 billion people were born by a woman? 8 billion. How many were born by men? 0. I just was gonna throw that in there. I saw that this week. I thought that was a good point. Said you can go fact check it. But 8 billion people, and there's estimated 3 billion people that live in these unreached people group areas of the world with no gospel witness. I mean, the gospel's needed in America. The gospel's needed here in Dumas, but there are places where there is no witness whatsoever. And the need is great. But here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38, we see, I want to give you a first point tonight, and that is this command to pray for harvesters. To pray for harvesters. And I'm going to, you know, he talks about laborers, but he's talking about the harvest and people that would bring in the harvest. And notice what it says about Jesus in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we're so grateful. So grateful for your grace. That it's not fair. That it's not based on our works. That you receive us by grace through the cross, our Lord Jesus. We're so thankful that you commended your love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you, Lord, that through Christ we have a home in heaven. Lord, as we listen to the news and we look around us and we see people in our community, we see the younger generation even, that their lives are broken. There's so much deception. There's so much confusion. There's so much sin that I know it grieves your heart. There's so much need for the gospel. And Lord, I think about our theme for this year, Acts, Jesus Continued. Lord Jesus, you want to continue your acts in and through us, in and through your church, to reach this generation with the gospel. Father, I pray that you'd open our hearts tonight as we hear your word. And God, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see the need and the urgency, to see the responsibility that we bear as your people, as your church. God, we ask you to bless your word tonight. For I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As we look at this passage, what did Jesus see? What did he see? Well, he saw weary souls. It said as he looked out upon the multitude, it says that he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. They fainted. They were weary souls. There are so many weary souls today. So many weary souls. Souls that are weary with sin, weary with this, the pain and the heartache of this life. And he saw these weary souls. He saw wandering souls because it said they were scattered abroad. As he looked out and he saw the multitude of people, he saw people that were wandering in sin, and people that had no shepherd. They were wretched souls. A sheep having no shepherd. This is a wretched state to be in, because sheep having no shepherd, they were not going to survive. They were not going to live without a shepherd. This is what Jesus saw when he saw the multitude. He saw people that were needy people. People that were weary. People that were wandering and wretched. And how did he feel about this? It says he was moved with compassion on them. And this is more than just him feeling this burden in his gut, this feeling of, you know, compassion. In the scripture, it speaks of the bowels, and you know, you get that feeling. It's more than a feeling, because he did something about it. The compassion of Jesus, it caused him to do something. He felt an urgency. What did Jesus do about this? Well, we know that he preached to the lost. We know that he ministered to the lost. But here in this passage, he urged his disciples to pray for laborers to go into the harvest field. To pray for laborers. You know, it's interesting, in the next chapter, he called his 12 and he gave them power and he sent them out. He did something about it. He called and he sent. I believe with all my heart today that God is calling harvesters. He's calling them. He wants to send them out. And he wants us to pray for more. And I believe that we have, if you were to look at the amount of born-again Christians in the world today. And you look at the amount of money that we make collectively, and I was reading about this, that we have enough money and we have enough people to reach the world with the gospel. The problem is we don't have enough people giving. The problem is we don't have enough people going, answering the call of God to go and be a harvester, to go and be His witness. And this doesn't mean just full time. It's not limited to people that we call missionaries or people that we call pastors or youth workers. It's every one of us should be involved in this harvest work. So I want you to see this command to pray for harvesters. But the second point tonight, I want to talk about the challenge for harvesters. The challenge that these harvesters face. I'm thinking of all harvesters, but in particularly, I'm thinking of the younger generation. I believe God wants to call young men and young women to serve Him. I believe that with all my heart. I mean, just the statistics I showed you, most people get saved before the age of 18. Most people surrender to the ministry before the age of 18. He is calling young people to give their lives to serve. To give their lives to be a harvester, a worker, a laborer in His harvest. But there are challenges that we face today. There are challenges that these younger generation faces that I think we can help with that as a church. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 3. In 2 Timothy 3, before I read this, I want to just say that children, you think about children, how that children love to imitate superheroes. I love to see little kids that like to dress up like Superman, or you know, they have heroes they want to imitate. Teens grow up, they want to be like their favorite athlete or favorite singer. You know, I've observed in younger preachers that surrender to the ministry, they want to be like their favorite preacher. They want to imitate. You know, we've all seen the power of an example to follow. The power of the example to follow. The key is following the right example. But Paul here, I want you to notice what he writes. And I'm going to read this whole chapter, 17 verses. We are here for the Word of God, right? You'd rather hear from God than me, right? I don't have a lot to say. I want you to hear from what God says. And I want you to listen to this passage, and I'm gonna share just a few challenges that harvesters face based on what I see in this passage. In 2 Timothy 3, it says in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." You know, we're in the last of the last days. I mean, we're seeing these perilous times. And he says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou," and he's speaking to Timothy here. Timothy was young. He was a young preacher, young in the ministry, he said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came on me at Antioch and at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." And so Paul is writing about the perilous times of our days. We are in those days, these last days that he's talking about here. Our culture is just falling apart at the seams. What are the challenges that young people as well as older people face today? What are the challenges that we face in being a harvester, being a laborer for the Lord? Well, one of the things I believe, especially in particular young people, is this. I want you young people to listen. One of the greatest challenges is avoiding ungodly examples. Avoiding ungodly examples. I mean, they abound. I mean, you don't have to look very far to see an ungodly example. I feel like we're in the times when David prayed in Psalm 12 that he prayed, "Lord, help for the faithful fell from among the children of men." I mean, the faithful fell. We're living in a time when there's few godly examples to follow. And so I believe one of the challenges that our young people are facing is avoiding ungodly examples, because there's so many of them. They're so bombarded by these ungodly examples, people who live lives totally self-centered. I wish I could go into this passage, but I don't have time. But you just look at this description, lovers of their own selves. That pretty much just describes lovers of pleasure. This is our generation. This is what we are seeing all around us. People, their lives are totally self-centered. They have this outward form of Christianity, this outward form of godliness, he says in verse 5, but denying the power thereof. They have this form of Christianity, but they are empty on the inside. They don't have the power. They don't have the intimate relationship with Christ. And notice what he says, from such turn away. You know, he's talking about, he's telling Timothy, this young preacher, listen, you need to avoid ungodly examples. And he's giving a description of how we can find them, how we can know them. We should turn away from these kind of examples. And these are people that resist the truth. And they're trying to gain a following. You know, it's sad that social media is pretty much, it's Satan's using that. He's using, these people have a voice now that's going out there, and they're resisting the truth of the gospel. They're resisting the truth of the Word of God. And they're trying to get people to follow them. So one of the greatest things that you have to challenge, you have to face, is to resist, avoid those ungodly examples that are all around us. Now, I think all of us, you know, it applies to all of us, right? I mean, even for us older people, there's so many ungodly examples. There's so many things that we, too, are influenced by. If we're going to be a harvester of Christ, we have got to keep our heart with all diligence. We have got to be careful who we listen to. We got to be careful who we follow. We got to be careful of things that we spend our time with. the videos that we watch, the social media that we're on, we got to avoid these ungodly examples that seem like we're just bombarded with them. You know, I read a sad story just yesterday that there was a father that he was giving a warning to teenagers because his son followed this challenge, a Benadryl challenge, and he died. You know, kids do these crazy things, these crazy challenges, and people just for, they want the attention, and so they follow along. But it's dangerous. It's self-seeking. Lovers of selves. But here's another challenge I believe that harvesters for Christ face today, and that is following godly examples. You know, not only avoiding the ungodly, but following godly examples. This is a challenge. And he's telling Timothy, beginning verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Talking about his teaching. He said, "You've known, you've sat under me, you've listened. You know my manner of life. You know how I conduct myself. You know how I've lived. You know my purpose. You know my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience." Patience is enduring great hardship and trials. You know the persecutions and afflictions that came on me. What persecutions I endured. He said, "But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." And it reminds Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You're going to suffer if you follow godly examples. You're going to suffer persecution. You're not going to be liked. You're not going to be popular. You're going to suffer hard times. Serving Christ and following Jesus, it's not going to be all easy. It's a challenge to follow godly examples. And he's telling Timothy that. But notice verse 14, he said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." You know, so he is encouraging Timothy, "I want you to look at my life, and you know my life, you know my example, I want you to follow it." You know, in chapter 1, if you just look real quickly in chapter 1 in 2 Timothy, in verse 5, he writes to Timothy, he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." You know, he believed that Timothy had an unfeigned faith. That means, basically it means that Timothy had a real, genuine faith. But notice what he says, "Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Under this idea of following godly examples, this challenge of following godly examples, I want to challenge all the parents here that have children at home. Be a godly example for your children to follow. You know, Timothy had a godly mother. He had a godly grandmother. They had the real, true, genuine faith in Christ. And so Timothy had this faith passed down to him. I believe one of the greatest challenges of our younger generation, and this is going to hurt for our modern generation out there, one of the greatest challenges I believe that younger generation faces is living in a home where lukewarm Christianity is practiced. When mom and dad are lukewarm, don't expect your kids to want to love Jesus and serve Jesus. Don't expect your kids to live a holy life. Be passionate for Jesus. Love Jesus. Follow Jesus. Be a godly example for your kids to follow. And I want to say that your kids may not follow your example, but be a godly example. Show them by your model. Don't just tell them. I preached Sunday morning about a word and deed, Christianity, word and deed, gospel ministry. Don't just word only be a Christian, but indeed be a Christian. Don't just say you love Jesus. Practice it. Live it. You know, another challenge I see in this passage, in these last three verses of this chapter, a challenge for harvesters for Jesus is faithfully practicing the spiritual disciplines. That's a term that we use. The spiritual disciplines is a term that we've used in our church for daily Bible study and meditation in the Word, daily prayer. It could include fasting, daily worship, daily thanksgiving, daily praise. Daily practicing these disciplines. I want you to notice that in verse 15 that Timothy came to faith as a child. He came to Christ as a child. Notice it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Jesus Christ. You know, it was through the Scriptures, it was through the Word of God that Timothy came to faith in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice that it is the Scriptures that is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We cannot grow as a Christian. We cannot be furnished for good works, to be a faithful labor harvester for Christ, without the Word of God, without the spiritual disciplines. I want to just say something, and I believe that I know some people here that would definitely agree with what I'm going to say. I believe Brother Gray would even agree with this. Camp is not magical. It's not magical. It seems like a magical place, but it's not. Why are teens saved, called? Why are teens revived at camp? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever asked yourself, why is it? It's not because it's just a magical place. I'll tell you why. It's because the teens get 1 week away from ungodly examples. They get 1 week of daily hearing the Word of God. Daily hearing the Word of God. Daily hearing the voice of God speak to them through the Word of God. They're daily spending time in prayer. They're daily spending time in biblical fellowship. They're memorizing Scripture. They're surrendering to the Lord. They're starting to yield to the Lord as they're hearing the Word of God. They're starting to obey the Lord. They don't have social media. They don't have their iPhones or any devices. They're just a whole week that's just devoted to hearing the Word, praying and listening to God's voice, surrendering to Him. That's why teens get saved. That's why they get revived when they go to camp. That's why that they get called to the ministry. Why do teens then often lose their fire and passion for Jesus after coming back from camp? And it could be a couple of weeks, it could be a couple of months. Why is it that that don't always happen? And I don't want to put that in your mind that's how it happens, because there's a lot that they continue on living for the Lord, they continue on serving and following Christ. But why is it that there are those that come back and they lose that passion, they lose that fire for the Lord, and they're no longer excited about coming to church, and they're no longer excited about the Word of God. And I tell you why. It's because they're not spending that quality time in the Word of God. They're not listening to the Word of God daily. They're not spending time every day in prayer. They're not spending time in meditation of the Word. They're not spending time memorizing Scripture. Because they come back and they get maybe around some ungodly influence. Or maybe they get around some lukewarm Christianity and they just start drifting back into that life. What seems like to be the norm of Christianity, sadly. What I'm saying is this. One of the challenges of Harvesters for Christ today is practicing the spiritual disciplines every day. That's how it's done. How do I keep passionate for Christ? How do I keep passionate to show up and to serve Jesus and to preach? And how do I keep the passion to keep walking with Christ? It's because of these disciplines. It's because of the Word of God. It's because of time with Him in prayer. It's because of biblical fellowship where other Christians are speaking the Word to me and encouraging me. Well, I'm going to give you the last one. It's going to be quick, because we're already out of time. The call for harvesters. The call for harvesters. You know, the truth is, you don't have to wait till camp to surrender to the Lord. You don't have to wait to camp to get away and spend time with Jesus every day. You don't have to wait for camp to answer God's call. Whether you're adult, parent, teen, child, the call comes ringing over the restless waves. Send the light. Send the light. The call's coming. Are we going to answer the call? And the verse I the Lord put on my heart for this truth is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Two of my favorite verses. I've used them for a long time as my life verses. And I go through seasons and I'll change my life verse. And so I don't think it's a life verse. Maybe a season of life verse. But I love those verses. Where Paul said, therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's talking about us coming to, based on the mercies of God that He's shown us, based on the grace of God, to surrender our lives to Him as a living sacrifice. It's our reasonable service. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be transformed by the Word of God. Surrender now to the call of God to follow Jesus. And listen, call this to everyone. Everyone that's answered the call of salvation, Jesus calls you, come, follow me. That's not just for particular ones. For every person that has come to Christ for salvation. I remember after He called, after John, Peter and John, James, after they came to know the Lord, then He came back later and He said, come follow me. There's a call to salvation. There's a call to service. There's a call to serve Jesus. Follow Jesus. Come, follow me. Are you going to answer that call? Parent, are you going to answer that call? Are you going to be that godly example for your kid? Church, are we going to pray for harvesters? Are we going to pray for more laborers? Are we going to pray for this younger generation? Are we going to pray not just that God would call them and send more laborers in the harvest field, but pray that God would help them to avoid those ungodly examples. Pray that we would be godly examples for them to follow. Encourage them to be faithful in the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. Pray that answer the call of Jesus, to surrender, to give their lives a living sacrifice. What a great challenge that is. What a great calling that is. Brother Mark was telling me he was able to go to Brother Rice's funeral. I'd planned to go yesterday, but was end up being with my dad at the hospital till late afternoon. And so Brother Rice was a faithful servant. Served the Lord for many years. Over 30, I believe, at Faith Baptist in Fritch. He called it Fritch America. You know, most people don't even know what Fritch is or where Fritch is, but to be faithful to a small town church like that, I'm telling you, that's something. That is something. You don't see that very often. But I guarantee you, as he went to his home, that there was no regrets. I'm sure there were no regrets. I'm thinking his only regret would be, I wish I'd done more. I want you to stand with me. We bow our heads for prayer. Father, tonight we're thankful for your word tonight, Lord, that you've given to us. And the command to pray for laborers, to pray for harvesters. God, help us to see what Jesus saw. God, help us to feel what he felt. Lord, help us to do what he did, to be willing to surrender to the Father's will, to be a part of the harvest, bringing in the sheep. It's challenging today as we have a lukewarm Christianity all around us, and we have so much ungodliness in our culture, ungodly examples and influences, and Satan is working overtime to discourage us, to try to distract us, and try to keep us from surrendering to this call to be a harvester in the Lord's harvest. It's a field where it's plenteous, it's ripe unto the harvest, but the laborers are few. God, I pray that each one of us here tonight will answer that call to be a harvester. Answer that call to follow Jesus. Answer that call to surrender so Jesus can continue his acts through us, in and through us, to reach others with the gospel. So many people, broken lives, brokenhearted, filled with sin, they need Jesus. And Lord, your plan is to use us to bring them to Jesus. God, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, burden our hearts for our younger generation. Burden our hearts to pray for our young people, for Brother Tim, Miss Corey. Lord, to burden our hearts to invest in that ministry this Sunday as they raise funds to go to camp. To burden our hearts to pray, beginning now, for God to do a work in their hearts. God, to prepare the speakers at camp. For God, to begin now that work of transformation. God, help us to be the kind of examples that they could want to imitate, want to follow, godly examples. God, we need you tonight, and I pray you bless your word tonight, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just be seated.